Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Workers wondering, what will the Senate do to keep the economy moving? Meanwhile, families deserve better, says one state federation leader. A mock funeral procession in Denver for victims of COVID-19. And today on the show, our labor writer Mark Grunberg and the Better Business Bureau on the latest scams. Good afternoon and welcome to the Monday, August 3rd edition of America's Workforce. And don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, online at awfradio.com. And our Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. You can follow us there. First Monday of the new month, that goes to Mark Grunberg of Press Associates, Union News Service, and Washington Window. And we're going to zero right in on the Great Depression 2. That's what we're in right now because of the pandemic. The GDP, that stands for Gross Domestic Product. And this was reported last week. It crashed by one-third on an annual basis. 2 million more people applied for jobless benefits. So if anyone who doesn't think we're in a record-setting disaster, that includes politicians in denial, well, they must be on another planet. I'm telling you, it's bad out there. It's really bad. And right now, Mitch McConnell and the Republicans don't seem to care too much. There's a lot of infighting going on. And what we're going to zero in on is the HEROES Act, which was passed in the House on May 15th. The Democrats had a plan, $3 trillion plan, and you may recall McConnell saying this was dead on arrival. Well, the feeling was they figured, well, let's see, it's August and things should be back to normal. Nobody counted on the fact that more people are getting the virus, and a lot of the people that were laid off are not going back to work. So they need some relief right away. Now, from what I've been gathering with news reports over the weekend, they are working on some kind of deal. Hopefully, Mark will have us some details on that. Right now, we do know this. It did not include any money for the Postal Service or the schools. And the schools, they would only get the money if they open. And you're seeing a lot of schools not going that route. It mandates firms to protect their workers through the OSHA rule. That's another problem there, but McConnell is not going down that road either. So Mark's going to unwind all the talk dealing with the HEROES Act and the Republican response. Couple of big wins here for the service employees and AFSCME. We touched on this last week. 97% of the vote among those casting ballots for child care providers in California. That was the drive that went on for 17 years. 17 years. We're also going to talk about the meatpacking plants. This is interesting. Three meatpacking workers at the Made Right Specialty Foods plant. This is in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. Two of whom have already tested positive for the virus, have sued the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to force it to inspect and cite the plant for imminent hazard from the disease and force the firm to fix its problems immediately. The workers, identified as Jane Doe's 1, 2, and 3, and the reason they're doing that is to protect themselves against their boss's retaliation, said in a lawsuit, this is in federal court in Harrisburg, that even though OSHA has known about conditions of the plant since early April, they haven't done anything. The suit filed on the workers' behalf by two nonprofit pro-worker legal groups, Public Justice and Towards Justice, also discloses that while OSHA issued guidance to meatpackers nationwide about how to protect their essential workers, it doesn't treat such workers as high priority for investigations. Mark's going to get into that as well. Lots to talk about with him. Sue McConnell of the Better Business Bureau And she handles the Cleveland, Ohio office. She is going to get into some scams. We have three new ones. Brushing scams, tech scams, and romance scams. This is interesting because the romance scams often happen around Valentine's Day. How about this one here? And this is posted on the BBB's website, bbb.org/scam tracker. That's a really good website. If you want to check out something and you're wondering, wonder if this is kosher or not, check that out, bbb.org, scam tracker. Somebody lost $76,000 in a romance scam. I'm just going to read part of this. I was scammed by someone in Uganda. That's a step in the wrong direction right there. This person was having some spiritual services done out of Uganda. I found him on Facebook where we began talking, and he began my work. I sent 20 wire transfers through Western Union, adding up to $76,000, and was told that all of my money that I sent was going to be sent back to me. Didn't happen. I don't know where the romance comes in, but that's for Sue to talk about. She'll be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Florida's AFL-CIO President Mike Williams, who's a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, is speaking out on behalf of the thousands of union members in his state, demanding that the Senate pass the HEROES Act. He wrote in the Orlando Sentinel that the bill would fulfill America's five economic essentials to recover from the pandemic. This is what he said. Here in Florida, we see the fallout of this crisis firsthand. We've now become an epicenter of the COVID-19 crisis. Our unemployment system is failing to provide the low benefits it grants workers. And the governor, Ron DeSantis, is attempting to rush reopening schools, putting our children and education staff at risk. Now, the proposals in the HEROES Act would benefit the entire nation, especially here in the Sunshine State. Our senators, Rick Scott and Marco Rubio, must do the right thing and help America get on the right track. Meanwhile, members of the Colorado AFL-CIO and the Denver Area Labor Federation joined a rally and mock funeral procession, calling out U.S. Senator Cory Gardner for his inaction on all this. Some 50 laid-off restaurant workers helped lead the funeral procession from the State Department of Labor to Gardner's office. Protests included members of Unite Here, Local 23, State Federation, the Labor Council, Colorado Jobs with Justice, and several other workers' groups. Once at the senator's office, workers held a mock funeral for the thousands of workers who may perish without an extension of unemployment assistance. I would imagine that got some media coverage, doing a mock funeral in Colorado. You know, throughout the pandemic, we have seen how the coronavirus is disproportionately affecting the health and economic livelihoods of Black people and communities of color. Well, the COVID racial data tracker, which is a joint effort of the COVID Tracking Project and the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research, is attempting to compile comprehensive statistics on the impact of the virus by race and ethnicity. The data shows that nationwide, Blacks or African Americans are experiencing 71 deaths per 100,000 people. Got that? 71 deaths per 100,000 people. For whites, 28 deaths per 100,000. Big difference there. Native Americans, Latinos, and Asians are experiencing higher mortality rates than white people, according to that data. We'll keep our eye on that one. One more here before we break. And this goes out to the Union Brothers and Sisters in Missouri on behalf of the United Association of Union Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, Local 562, which continue to deliver quality work despite the challenges working during the pandemic. The UA and its leaders recognize their members who are working at the Portage de Sioux Power Plant in Missouri. Got a comment here from Bill Doherty, who's a business rep at 562. He said, "It's amazing to walk on the site and see our men and women doing such quality work. They really do make each job site better each and every day, and we're very proud of everyone for their hard work." So salute there to Local 562 of the United Association of Union Plumbers and Pipefitters. All right, we have to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce, our segment with Mark Gruenberg, our labor writer, coming up next. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to America's Workforce. Don't forget our Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. You can follow us there, and we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Please subscribe to our podcast. We ask you to do that and give us a rating. We would appreciate a good rating. And if it's not a good rating, let us know, okay? There's so many means of communication today. Let's go to line number one, and welcome back to the show. We always check in with him on the first Monday of the new month. It's already August. Hard to believe. Mark Gruenberg is our labor writer, and he's here to talk about so many things. Boy, I tell you, I don't even know where to start. Probably with the fact that we have senators in Washington that seem to have their head in the sand when it comes to what's going on in America. Hey, Mark, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you, Flash. Hello, everybody. And yes, there are senators with their heads in the sand, that's for sure.
Yeah, so here we have the House on May 15th. Mm-hmm. All right. They passed the HEROES Act, and I remember Mitch McConnell saying, oh, this isn't going anywhere. And I'm sure they were thinking everything was going to be much better than what it is today. So I know they've been talking over the weekend. What are you hearing right now, Mark?
What I'm hearing right now is that they're going to pass something this week. The question is, what will the something be? McConnell has come up with a bill that would, that is, to say the least, skimpy. Even President Trump calls it that, although he doesn't use the word skimpy. It is definitely not the HEROES Act. But just to set the scene, there are at least 20 million unemployed people whose only income since the CARES Act, and the CARES Act was passed in March, were those $600 weekly checks. Those are gone as of this past Friday. McConnell's brainstorm was, he says, that's too much. People will sit home and work. Will sit home and not work. He wants to cut it to $200. So that's one big fight. 200 or 600? There are Republican senators, such as Ted Cruz of Texas, who don't want anything at all. Another big fight. Will there be other things in the bill for workers? The HEROES Act had a lot. It had money to save the Postal Service and 604,000 jobs. It had money to help state and local governments whose revenues have gone down the tank and save millions of jobs from being cut. It had money for personal protective equipment. It had money for testing, so that more people, so we can try to curb this virus. It had a mandate that firms must protect workers, that OSHA was to issue a temporary rule ordering firms to protect the workers, implement plans and protect workers. It had a whole lot of things in it.
Mm-hmm.
None of which are in McConnell's bill. McConnell's bill still has that. It has that $200 per person payment for the, and it's not just the 20 million people, but it was to top off unemployment compensation for those who get state unemployment compensation as well.
Yeah.
Just as the $600 does now. Or did. That's the point. Did. None of it's in McConnell's bill, and that's what the fight is about.
Now, the Labor Federation came out last week and said this is pretty much dead on arrival, what McConnell is trying to implement here. And they instituted a national hotline, 866. We've been promoting this on the show, 866-832-1560. And that's to get the senators to pass the HERO Act. I don't know how many calls have been made right now, but Labor's been very, very vigilant on this. What do you see panning out here? Because, I mean, I think it's one-third. The Senate bill is about $1 trillion. And don't they still want liability protections?
I haven't even mentioned the bad stuff in McConnell's bill. One of them, his big deal is, if you or I walk into a store, a reopened store, which hasn't cleaned itself out, and people are coughing and sneezing, and they have the coronavirus, and you catch it, we catch it, especially if they're asymptomatic. Right now, assuming you survive, you can sue.
Yeah.
McConnell would basically prevent anybody from suing firms from now through about 2024. That's in McConnell's bill. Another thing in McConnell's bill, and you'll get a kick. Everybody, folks, you'll get a kick out of this. There is $1.8 billion for a new headquarters for the FBI. Now, regardless of your opinion of the FBI, especially after what's been happening in Portland, the building needs replacement. It is almost 60 years old. Its wiring is overburdened. The ceilings are crumbling. It's too, you know, it doesn't have room for everybody, so on and so forth. So the idea was that the FBI would get about $2 billion for a new building. The original plan was that $1.8 million to $2 billion for a new building in the D.C. suburbs, where there would be more space, They'd be able to build a modern building. They could expand if they needed to, so on and so forth. Trump stepped in and stopped that. What is in McConnell's bill is $1.8 billion for an FBI building on the same site as the current building. Why? So? So what, you ask? The FBI building is less than two blocks on Pennsylvania Avenue. As a matter of fact, it's, now that I think of it, it's less than one block from Trump's hotel. The original plan had been to turn over the land from the FBI building after knocking it down and moving to the suburbs to D.C., since it is D.C. land, and D.C. was going to auction it off, and it was viable enough to build another hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Competition for Trump's hotel.
Oh,
so now there's, yeah, you get the idea. This is going to be another little merry-go-round in that bill in the Senate as well.
Mark, let's get into the evictions, because I understand the HEROES Act includes about $100 billion in emergency rental aid. And with these people, so many people out of work, they're going to be kicked out of their homes here. Anything in the Senate bill to help in that regard, or is that not included,
that
to your knowledge?
That may be the one thing that both bills share, because what I've been hearing is that there would be a further moratorium on evictions. Now, the catch is, will that apply just to evictions from federally subsidized housing, or will it apply to all evictions? So far, the answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
But 29 states had eviction bans. Most of them are gone, if not all. And now the evictions are going to start. But right as the jobless benefits are gone, right as health insurance is gone, right as rental subsidies are gone, right as you name it is gone, right as we're in a Great Depression, part two, when gross domestic product crashes by one-third at an annual rate in the last quarter.
Yeah, it's the 1930s all over again. All right, we have to take a quick break. Mark Gruenberg, our labor writer, on our live line. Lots more to cover. And Sue McConnell of the Better Business Bureau with more scams. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently reported that the heartburn medication Zantac is linked to cancer. Zantac has been linked to a variety of cancers, which include bladder, colorectal, kidney, liver, pancreatic, and stomach. So if you or a loved one took Zantac and developed any of these types of cancer, you need to call Kelly and Ferraro, 216-575-0777. Let me repeat that number, 216-575-0777 for a free case review. You may be entitled to compensation from the drug manufacturer.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Welcome back to America's Workforce. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin our labor writer, Mark Gruenberg. effort. Back to school, in some cases, yes, in many cases, no. And apparently a couple of unions, including the American Federation of Teachers, is threatening to go on strike if their respective community forces the teachers and the kids to go back to school. There's a lot at play here, Mark. Maybe you can give us a snapshot of what's going on in America. And let's start right out of Washington. Is this coming from Betsy DeVos? And I guess Trump is also saying if the schools don't open, they don't get the federal aid. Is that what's going on right now?
Right. Or that's what they threatened to say. That's their threat. If the schools don't open, they don't get the aid. And yes, it is from Trump and DeVos. And they're saying, come hell, high water, or pandemic, they're ordering the schools to reopen. And as you can imagine, governors, especially Republican governors in Trumpite states, right, in the South and the West, have been trying to follow their lead. Well, the two unions, the NEA and the AFT, have been saying, you got to be kidding. The schools aren't safe. We need money to make them safe. We need measures to make them safe. And if you don't give up, and if you try to force us back, and this is AFT's stand, we will, if necessary, do a safety strike. The measures, distancing. Remember your typical classroom, the desks are close together. Can't be. Mm-hmm. 6 feet. Crowding, your typical classroom has 25, 30 kids. Nope, that's too many. NEA President Louie Esculson-Garcia challenged Trump, you try sitting in a class of 39 sixth graders, which is what she had to teach in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that. Typical classroom, kids walk right in from the outside. Yeah, dirty, coughing, sneezing, no masks. You need masks. You need protective equipment. You need sanitizer. You need frequent hand washing. All the things that are supposed to be on the job, you need in the schools as well. All of which is expensive, by the way.
Yeah, very much.
The Heroes Act has money for the schools. McConnell has less money for the schools. And the Heroes Act has money for the states, almost a trillion dollars, for the states. Why is that important? Because the schools get most of their money not from the federal government, but from your local property taxes or your state's taxes. No money for states equals no money for schools equals cuts in staff, cuts in teachers, no money for PPE, no money for the kids. You get it, you get it, you get it. Which is why AFT is threatening strikes as a last resort, and why the Florida Education Association, which is a joint affiliate for both unions, the statewide affiliate, has already sued Florida's governor to try to stop their back-to-school-or-else plan down in the Sunshine State.
Yeah, they have to be vigilant right now. It's right. My understanding there's some teachers that are just flat out leaving the profession. And I mm-hmm. heard a story a couple weeks ago, Texas got really hit bad with this virus. There's teachers down there, if they're forced to go back in the classroom, they're writing their wills right now. Some of them just got out of college. You know, they chose this career and they're thinking, oh, my God, I may not make it to the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
That's how dire the situation is right now. All right, let's try to lift things up a little bit. We got a couple of big wins here, union wins. SEIU and AFSCME talked about this last week. Mark, this was a 17-year fight, from what I understand, in California for child care providers. What do you have to add to the story?
Well, what we have to add to the story is that it was a 17-year fight, but only about the last 6 months was an organizing drive. This is an illustration of how important politics is to workers. AFSCME and SEIU got together to organize 47,000 child care providers in California. That's the bottom line. They won the union recognition vote, 97% to 3%. That's one hell of a win, right? Don't know how many voted, but 97 to 3 is one hell of a win. But the whole thing with child care providers, not just in California, but in several other states, is if you take your kids to a provider, the provider is paid by the state, Medicaid, various other subsidies, so on and so forth. But the provider is an individual, so there's always a contract between you, the parent, and the child care company. Well, that wasn't covered under labor law. What they had to do in California, and this was what took most of those years, was to make the state the official employer of the child care workers, so that the unions, once they organized the workers, could negotiate with the state over pay, over benefits, over working conditions, over everything else that goes into taking care of your kids. That took, because you had to work in politics to get a favorable legislature and a favorable governor, it took more than 15 years. Once they got it, last September, the organizing drive took about 9 months.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now they got to get their first contract, so at least...
Right.
At least a lot of this has been, you know, put behind them. It's still, they still have a couple of hurdles here, no doubt about it. But that's a huge step in the right direction. We should also salute the National Nurses United. I love this union. They are so vigilant. And I guess this is what, St. Mary's and St. Joseph's Hospitals in Tucson, Arizona. They voted overwhelmingly to approve their first contract with the National Nurses. What can you tell us about this one?
Well, it took 18 months to negotiate, and it took a strike threat to get the two hospitals to negotiate with them. But they got their first contract. They okayed it overwhelmingly. It's a 3-year contract. It includes patient protections as well as the nurses' protections. Such things as, you know, they can now negotiate over... The hospitals have to negotiate with them over things like staff-to-patient ratios, shift changes, things like that, so that you don't have overtired nurses taking care of thousands upon thousands of patients. Arizona, by the way, this came just in the nick of time for those nurses. Arizona is quite literally running out of hospital beds. It's one of those states that opened up too soon, and now they're running out of both hospital beds and nurses to take care of the skyrocketing number of people who have caught the coronavirus.
Again, this is a 3-year contract, and we're talking about 1,000 nurses at those two hospitals. Good
the first there. Contract in Arizona.
Yeah. You know, anytime you see something down south happen like that, that's big news. Big news.
Right.
No doubt about that.
Big news.
Especially in those right-to-work states. One more here, and it involves 3 meatpacking workers. This is in Pennsylvania, and they're suing OSHA. I don't know what the numbers are on OSHA. I remember talking to you. What was it? They have like 5, maybe 6,000 complaints to OSHA, and they only investigated one of them, and it was pretty much a slap on the wrist. I don't know if we have new data on how many complaints there are, but it seems, here's an agency that was set up to protect workers, and they're not doing anything, are they?
That's correct. They're not doing anything. They're actually now investigated 2 rather than 1. Big deal. And it's more than 6,000 complaints. So these 3 workers... at a meatpacking plant in northeastern Pennsylvania, found 2 public interest law firms, pro-worker public interest law firms, that have filed what they hope will be a class action suit to get OSHA to act, in so many words. They filed it in federal court in Harrisburg 2 weeks ago, and no date on the hearing has been set, but they want it as fast as possible for the simple reason that all the other workers in the plant, it's called Made Right, M-A-I-D-R-I-T, are in danger. The company is not doing a damn thing to protect the workers. And yet processing plants, beef and pork and chicken processing plants, are some of the biggest hot spots now in the country.
Now, Mark, I'm reading in your story, the suit also points out that Made Right's meat, mostly ground beef, gets shipped to, among other places, schools in Ohio, Houston, and Orlando, Florida. Texas, especially Houston, have seen a recent increase in coronavirus caseloads, as well as Florida, which you just talked about. And this has been going on for a long time here. So right now, we have a court case that, and the workers are identified as Jane Doe's 1, 2, and 3. And the reason for that, if they come out with their real names, they'll probably get retaliated against. Is that right?
They'll probably get fired, in so many words. We're being polite if we say retaliated against. Yes, on all those things. I can't tell you where in Ohio those schools are, but I would bet they're scattered all over the state. It might be a good question to launch at the Cleveland School District and the Toledo School District and some of the others. So,
sad state of affairs in America, no doubt. All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Mark, you take care. Mark Gruenberg, Press Associates Union News Service, Washington Window. You be safe. We'll talk to you in September, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mark Gruenberg, on our live line. Quick break. When we come back, Sue McConnell, the Better Business Bureau. Once again, you are listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
LIUNAV, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to America's Workforce. Don't forget our Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. You can follow us there. And we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify, and online at awfradio.com. Let's go to line number two. Welcome one of our regulars, the Better Business Bureau, Sue McConnell, here to talk about more scams. Boy, just when you figure out one scam, another one pops up, and we have a doozy here dealing with spiritual advice and romance. Before we get to that, Sue, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
brushing
me.
Brushing scam. Now, I take it this is involved. This is not involving brushing your teeth or anything. What's this one all about?
This one is very odd, and it involves getting packages you never ordered. And many of these are coming from China. You might have seen a lot of stories lately about people getting packages of seeds in the mail.
Uh-huh.
And these things are typically being ordered through Amazon. Seeds were very popular, and we've also seen like little hand fans and anything that's lightweight that's cheap to ship. So what's happening is these foreign sellers are trying to bump up their reviews on Amazon by shipping packages to people who've never ordered them. And this means that they have your name and your address somehow. And they ship you things that are lightweight. And in the case of the packages of seeds, you know, when plant material comes in from a foreign country, it gets inspected to make sure that it's not something that's going to end up being an invasive plant and cause a lot of issues or have unhealthy aspects to it. So these packages of seeds were actually labeled jewelry on the outside, so they didn't raise any suspicion or inspection. And then people were getting these packages of seeds. They open this box, there's seeds in there. So these sellers use your name and address and the fact that you bought something supposedly from them, and they post fake verified customer reviews about their company. And also you see that they have sold thousands of these items because they're basically just shipping things unordered to people and using that to boost their ratings on Amazon. So first of all, if you ever get unordered merchandise, you're under no obligation to pay for it or return it. In the case of the seeds, the state's departments of agriculture really want you to turn them in, notify them that you got these. They're advising you definitely don't plant them, don't eat them, and just understand that you're just being played with and you're being used as a tool for some disreputable company or person to boost ratings on Amazon. So
wow.
You don't have to return it. You don't have to do anything with it. You can throw them out. But that's what that's all about. If you're wondering why you're getting packages you never ordered, that's what's going on. That odd?
Yeah, very
how
odd.
How powerful and those ratings must be on Amazon for someone who's selling, that they're willing to do this.
Well, you know, in today's world, they track everything. So so if they can get some kind of a bump on Amazon, and Amazon is controlling the entire universe right now, they're going to do whatever it takes. And as far as these seeds, I mean, have they explored what they are? What do we know about these? I've heard about them, but I don't know exactly what they are.
I haven't read where they've said what the seeds actually are. And the if you get them here in Ohio, you contact the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and they do want to take a look at these things. And there could be very harmless seeds for something, but it's definitely that don't plant them, because if it is an invasive, it could be something that kills other plants or just has a very harmful effect. And just turn them in the Department of Agriculture. And any other things you get, we've seen ping pong balls done, flashlights, anything that is lightweight and inexpensive is what these people are using to ship throughout the country.
Wow. All right. Romance scam. This is a good one.
Yeah.
And apparently someone was scammed by someone in Uganda. I mean, that should have stopped them right there. I know Nigeria has been a hot spot. What? But there's a lot of money that was lost in this one. Talk to me about this one, Sue.
Well, that one that we're talking about was somebody who was contacted and ended up having frequent communications with someone who said they were in Uganda. And they not only were developing a relationship with this person, but this person was giving them spiritual guidance. And they kept asking for money to be sent, which the scammer promised all their money would be returned. And they were having the money sent to two different other people. And this individual ended up sending $76,250. And they reported this on our scam tracker site. The scammer kept assuring them that we're sending your money back to you, we're wiring it back to you, but it's on hold. And they even asked for an additional $15,000 more to get the money out of hold. And they would send this victim pictures of crates of American money to prove that, yes, we do have the money to send back to you. And it was probably money that they ripped off from other people. So,
sure.
You imagine $76,250 this person ended up sending. And then we've seen others that haven't lost as much. We had another person who was contacted through Facebook and developed this relationship, romantic relationship. They lost $5,000, which they actually mailed cash to a person in Cincinnati. And what happens is these people, like this person in Cincinnati, was being used as a money mule and probably didn't know it. They were forwarding this cash or wiring this cash to somebody else. And we had another one that was pretty extensive. Again, somebody reached out to this person on Facebook, claimed to be from their same hometown. So they've hacked into the Facebook page. They know where this person is from. Said they worked in Exxon, and so he traveled around the country and started asking for money. He needed the money because his accounts were frozen. He couldn't get in touch with his stockbroker due to COVID-19, and he was trying to get money to his son and grandson who were quarantined in China. And this victim ended up sending $3,900, and that was all the money they had. And once she couldn't send any more money, he started getting very abusive and threatening, and she realized. She then told her family because he had said, don't tell anybody about this. And, of course, the scammers do that because they don't want you to discuss it with people because those people are going to tell you you're being scammed.
Yeah,
she finally turned to her family and told them what was going on, but not before she lost almost $4,000. And these are showing up more and more on our scam tracker site, I think because people are isolated and they're more vulnerable. You're on your computer, you're on Facebook, you're trying to socialize somehow. So people are more vulnerable to these romance scams and a lot of scams online right now.
Amazing. In this case, on the one in Uganda where the person gave the scammer $76,000, they sent 20 wire transfers through Western Union. Just wondering. Now, you know, when you put stuff on your credit card, you have and there's some scam involved. Usually the credit card company like a MasterCard or Visa will figure that out and you get your money back. We often talk about that on the show. In this case with Western Union, is there any recourse on this or are they disconnected from this whole process?
Yeah, once that money is wired, it's basically gone. It's hard to track down because you can say you're wiring it to a specific place, but basically you can grab wire transfers online. You can get them any Western Union. You don't have to necessarily pick it up at the one spot. So you think you're wiring it to a specific place or person. And in this case, they had two different places they told her to wire the money to. And it's very, very, I mean, I can't recall the last time I heard about some of these romance scammers getting caught because they're in foreign countries and the money is basically hard to trace where it ended up once you wire it. So
yeah,
you never want to wire money to anybody unless it's someone you know, a family member, a friend that you know, not to somebody who reaches out to you on Facebook. and befriends you, and it's been a total stranger, and the next thing you know, they're asking you for money. And they'll use reasons that seem very sincere because they spend a bit of time gaining your trust and gaining your affection before they start asking you for money. Yeah. And if you get pictures from them, they tend to take the conversation off Facebook Messenger and start doing it by text, or, you know, to get you off Facebook. And then they just start pumping you for money. And as long as you give it to them, they'll keep asking you for more and more and more. And at some point, you're going to realize you're being scammed and you stop sending the money. But you just, you know, you can't get that money back. And people have lost tens of thousands, you know, all their life savings because they are in love with somebody who is actually just a scam artist.
That's a good site, too, Scam Tracker. Go to bbb.org/scam tracker. Good stuff there. One more before we go here. Tech scams. What's the latest here, Sue?
Yeah, the latest with these, now we've talked about tech scams before where somebody tries to pose as Microsoft and you used to get a pop-up on your computer and it would say you have a virus and you need to call this number to get this virus off your computer. And what we're seeing now from posts on Scam Tracker is people are getting emails and the emails claim that your subscription to some software is about to automatically renew. And usually it's a $200, $300 or so software. And in order to stop this transaction, you need to make a phone call. And once you make that phone call, that's when you have connected to a tech support scam, and they will tell you that they need to get on your computer to remove this software that you don't want to renew. And they get on your computer and they start downloading software, which then gets them access to your online banking, they track your keystrokes, they find out your passwords. The other thing that they are saying, besides you have a subscription that's going to renew for $300 unless you call this number, sometimes the email will say your package has been shipped. And if you did not order this, you have to call us. So they use some motivation for you to get on the phone with them right away because you don't want this $300 purchase or this $300 subscription. And then they get you into a conversation and they sound very credible and they want access into your computer. And once they're in there, sometimes they create problems, which they try to get more money from you to fix. By installing malware on your computer or freeze locking up files, and then they just ask you for more money and more money. So that's the new twist. They're emailing you claiming unless you call us, you're going to be buying this renewal to a subscription or a package has been shipped to you that you're going to have to pay for.
Yeah, be careful. All right, Sue, you know you'll never be without a job. You know that.
Unfortunately, yeah. And these scammers are so clever, and it's just interesting how they use anything that's happening. So right now, of course, COVID-19 is happening across the globe, and that is woven into every scam. We've seen it in the romance scams. We see it in all kinds of scams. They're using this virus to scam you either out of money or out of personal information like Social Security numbers or credit card account numbers or bank account numbers, things that you normally would keep confidential. These scammers are extremely professional at what they do, and people are easily duped who think they're too smart to be scammed, would never in a million years fall for something like this. But because of everything that's happening, people are vulnerable, and you just need to be very skeptical and very aware and not make any quick decisions and not wire money or turn over, you know, people, letting people get into your computer, anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. BBB.org, the website, national website, and BBB.org/Cleveland. All right. Sue, you take care, be safe, and we'll talk to you in September, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the latest from the Ohio AFL-CIO and the National Council on Occupational Safety and Health. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.